Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the special Blake Griffin edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast, Big Pistons News. As you may have kind of expected, I guess, given the malaise of this eight-game losing streak and where this team was kind of headed, which was exactly nowhere before a few hours ago as I taped this on Monday night, January 29th. But this is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account at Locked On Pistons as well. And we got a Facebook page now, so follow that and give us a like at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. We'll be talking Blake Griffin, all you know need to know about him today, some reaction around the league and around the country as far as NBA experts as well, and I'll be giving my thoughts on the big blockbuster deal for the Detroit Pistons who stole the news cycle and kind of made a big splash, Stan Van Gundy, this afternoon with the big trade for Blake Griffin coming to the from the LA Clippers to the Detroit Pistons. Blake Griffin is a member of the Detroit Pistons. Hard to believe, and we'll break it down a little bit today, and we'll be breaking it down throughout the season as well. But I opened up Monday's podcast by saying, my God, why are you listening to this podcast? It was kind of a joke. The Pistons are in the middle of an eight-game losing streak. The season is slipping away, and really not a lot of reason to be optimistic about the future as well. David Locke, the founder of the Lockdown Network, had me on the Monday National Big Stories Local Experts show to talk about what the heck happened to this team. The last time I was on the podcast, it was during the beginning stretch of the season. There were about 14-8 at the time and really were kind of the talk of the league with how things were going in a positive way. Well, there wasn't much reason to be talking about the Pistons then, but there is a lot of reason to be talking about the Pistons now. The Pistons made the blockbuster on Monday afternoon, trading for Blake Griffin from the LA Clippers in a move that surprised folks all over the league. The morning started on Monday with a report on ESPN.com that Avery Bradley was being made available by the Pistons. I've been talking about that being a smart move for some time now. Of course, as long as the acquisition you make for him, the deal you make with Avery Bradley's expiring contract is a smart one. This deal, as reported first by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com, as all deals are pretty much reported first by him, is this. The Pistons are sending Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, and a future first and second round pick to the LA Clippers. This is next year's first round pick, although it is top four protected. So unless it ends up in the top four, the Pistons will keep it for another year and still be top four protected for, I believe, two more years after that. And then it will be unrestricted to the Clippers. But there's no way that it will be this year's first round pick unless the Pistons somehow strike lottery luck. But I thought that was pretty funny that there was top four protected, that not top three protected, that Stan Van Gundy saw the need to protect the pick in the top four. I get top three is because if those are the ping pong balls that are picked, but the fourth team is the worst team that isn't in the top three. So it's like Stan Van Gundy's protecting the Pistons from being the absolute worst team in the NBA or one of the two or three worst teams in the NBA. I thought that was kind of a weird subplot side dish of this whole conversation. I'm not exactly clear as I tape this on Monday night what the details of the second round pick are, but it doesn't really matter. I'm assuming it's probably 2019 or 20 second round pick, but it's a second round pick, so who really cares? In addition to Blake Griffin, the Pistons are getting Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed. Bryce Johnson was a late first round pick 2 years ago out of North Carolina. He was a promising prospect coming out of North Carolina, put up really big numbers for the Tar Heels, but he's only played in 12 NBA games, despite the fact that Blake's been out with injuries at that power forward spot. So not a whole lot to be seen from Bryce Johnson. There's probably a reason for that. But with the Pistons, maybe he'll get a chance in the rotation of backup bigs to get a few minutes or possibly bound for Grand Rapids. We'll see what happens with him. Seems like the career was kind of going nowhere with the Clippers. But we'll see a good player out of North Carolina, and we'll see down the road. Willie Reed is another 6'10 guy. 27-year-old, and he played at SLU at St. Louis University. He's a guy I kind of liked from the little I've seen from the Clippers this year. He played with Miami last year, started five games for the Clippers this year when DeAndre Jordan was out. He's getting 5 points and three rebounds a game. Pretty athletic guy, so he's probably slotted in as your new backup center ahead of Eric Moreland, although we'll see how that shakes out as well. So a lot to digest with Blake Griffin. You know who he is. He makes $30 million this year, and he's under contract for the next three seasons after this one, and then holds a $39 million $39 million player option for the 2021-22 season after that. So, yeah, you can pretty much just safely assume that Griffin is going to be under that contract for the next four seasons after this one. He signed a five-year, $171 million deal this offseason with the Clippers. So, the Clippers and Pistons kind of going into this trade, they're in similar spots. They had somewhat promising seasons coming into this year. The Pistons got off to the great start. The Clippers actually were pretty strong at the beginning of the season as well, but then they were derailed by injuries. Blake Griffin went down for a while, and the Clippers had a spat of injuries there where everyone was going down, and they turned Lou Williams into the kind of the face of the franchise for a little while there. And they have coaches in Doc Rivers and Stan Van Gundy that had good pedigree, had a lot of success in the league, but whose legacies are getting beat up a little bit in their current spots with the disappointing ways that the franchises are heading. Franchises, by the way, that they both put together as front office members, although Jerry West in this past offseason has taken over the Clippers and relegated Doc to basically just a coaching role. Griffin, he's only 28, which is kind of surprising. Felt like he's been around longer than that. He'll be 29 in March, so coming up on 30 pretty soon. That means he'll be 32 for most of that season where he's due $171 million. So it's not like he's going to be in his late 30s like Miguel Cabrera's contract with the Tigers or anything like that. The biggest red flag with him is all the injuries, of course. And I wonder really if there's any chance that the physicals are an issue here, something to think about in the next couple days as this trade kind of gets pushed through. Pistons play Tuesday night at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I don't know. My guess is that none of the players are available for that game and that Blake doesn't play in that one, and the Pistons will be short-staffed, and maybe they'll have to bring some players over from Grand Rapids. But we will see as Tuesday progresses about the chances of that happening for Blake's career. As he came out of Oklahoma, was the number one pick. He's a 21 points per game in his career, 9 rebounds per game. This year, he's at 22 points a game and 8 rebounds per contest this season. Was the first pick in the 2009 draft, and then promptly missed his entire first season as he broke his kneecap. But then his career took off after that. He's a 5-time All-Star in his first 5 played NBA seasons. This will be his third straight year that he did not make the All-Star team. His career has kind of peaked in 2013-14 when he was in the MVP conversation, but his production level, he's been near that since then, but hasn't been an all-NBA type player since that one season that he had. And he's also missed time with back spasms. He had a torn left quad one season. He had that broken hand. Remember, he punched the trainer for the Clippers, who was supposedly one of his closest friends. That was one of the weird stories from that season. So he missed a lot of that year a couple years back. Had a staph infection. He's had right knee surgery. He had a broken toe that put him out of the playoffs. I believe that was last year. Had the sprained left MCL this year. Also had a concussion as well. But, you know, he brings along the star power. This feels like a move that Tom Gores would like on the business side of it. Little Caesars Arena needs a little star power, and Gores might be bringing in some of that glitz and glamour of the big city. We know that Gores spends a lot of time in L.A., pretty much exclusively is in L.A. these days, and he's probably well aware of the attraction of Blake Griffin, the being a little bit of the toast of the town at times that Lob City was over these past few years. Blake is not very well-liked around the league. I think that's an understatement. He seemed to get beat up by teams early on in his career, maybe a little bit of jealousy there, that he was getting too many endorsement deals too soon. The Kia deal, if you remember, he's been on commercials throughout his career. He had the jumping over the car to win the All-Star Game slam dunk contest in his rookie season. But by the way, Blake Griffin is no longer flying over cars anymore. You don't have to worry about that. More of a grounded version of Blake Griffin these days. Think of him as more like a compact car. That's a more reliable version of a car that's going to crafty get you places, but he's not going to be the sleek jumping over cars anymore. So the biggest news for this past year of Blake Griffin is the squabbles that he was getting into with Houston a couple weeks back in L.A. Chris Paul, his former teammate, they were involved in that altercation after the game, going in between the locker rooms and everything like that. During that game, Blake Griffin was running down court and was out of bounds and brushed past and bumped into Mike D'Antoni, which got him all fired up, the Houston coaches he ran by. So a little bit of a checkered past at times. And, you know, the Clippers were, when they had DeAndre and Chris Paul, always a team that won a lot of games but didn't really get over the hump in the playoffs, never made the conference finals, kind of became a little bit of a joke. And I've talked about this on the podcast a little bit too. It's a team I really hated. I did not like Chris Paul for the most part, but also Blake Griffin, how the players, you know, didn't like the fact that he acted like he had won a lot of rings and was one of those upper echelon guys, but never really quite got there. But his career's kind of taken a little bit of a downward turn. Not that he's off the map or anything like that, and he's still a very good player, obviously. But we will see how that translates to Detroit, in a city that he has no connection to, in a place that, you know, isn't desirable for people on the outside, but a lot of people really take to it when they get here. We just saw Tobias Harris on Twitter and Instagram talking about how it's all love for him. Obviously, it's a different kind of guy than Blake Griffin, but we'll see how Blake Griffin kind of adapts to Detroit and how his body holds up over the next 5 years, which is probably the most important part about this deal. A lot to digest here, and we're going to be talking about some of the national reaction to this move here in a little bit. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
I've got some of my own thoughts and opinions on the Blake Griffin deal, and I'll get to those in a little bit. We're putting this podcast together on Monday night, kind of patchwork. Maybe we'll take a deeper look on Tuesday with another episode about what I feel about the Blake Griffin trade, get into what his future with the Pistons will be as well. But I wanted to go around nationally a little bit tonight, as the opinions and tweets are all flying through the Twitterverse and the internet right now. So we're going to get to some of those. I listened to the Ringer NBA show a little bit here. Chris Ryan mentioned on there, brought up how miserable Blake might be in Detroit as a quintessential LA guy. Obviously, that's one of those things that can go one of two ways. You know, some guys really adapt to Detroit, and maybe somewhat surprisingly, even to them, that they take to it, and maybe Blake Griffin's career could use a little focusing at some point. On that same podcast, Bill Simmons talked about that whole thing, that maybe this is what needed to happen for Griffin's career. Obviously, the Clippers were going nowhere. I think Jerry West is looking at a rebuild situation. When you're a Western Conference team, you need to think more seriously about building a dynamic team to compete, as opposed to in the East, where you can make a couple deals and be right in the top of that middle class in the Eastern Conference, which is what the Pistons are probably hoping and looking to do. Where was he going in LA is kind of the question that Bill Simmons was posing there. I think you could say the same thing about Detroit. Like I said, where is this team going? But he did need a fresh start. He's had six or seven lower body injuries over the past several years. Those guys on that podcast talked about how it was a desperate move for Detroit, and I kind of agree with that. Also on Twitter, there's a lot of talk about the free agency pitch that the Clippers made to Blake Griffin in this offseason. He did opt out and was a free agent this past offseason. They brought in his family for a mock jersey retirement ceremony this past offseason. They also made those shirts that made the rounds on the internet where Blake was alongside guys like Nelson Mandela, Muhammad Ali, John F. Kennedy, Abe Lincoln, and Albert Einstein, and kind of put on there that these were the pioneers with all the pictures of those guys. I really thought that shirt was kind of funny. I want to believe that it was a joke. I'm certain that it was pretty much tongue-in-cheek. It had to be. Chris Herring of 538.com, friend of this podcast who's been on before, talked about that shirt and said maybe we should have seen this coming today on Twitter. And there's a lot of jokes out there about the DeAndre Jordan quote-unquote hostage situation from a couple years ago, where he had agreed to the deal with the Dallas Mavericks to be back in his home of Texas, but at the last hour, Chris Paul and Doc Rivers and Blake Griffin, among others, kind of trapped him in his own home and kind of talked him out of leaving the Clippers and staying in L.A. And instead, now DeAndre Jordan's the only one left out of that crew, although Doc Rivers is still there, but in a tenuous situation at best. Although worth noting that Adrian Wojnarowski pointed out in his reports about the deal that the Clippers are now seriously looking to move DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams as well. Some other reaction came from NBA writer Tim McMahon of ESPN. He had a tweet today that said, "One scout's take on Blake Griffin going to Detroit, quote, It'll be the best thing for his career, end quote. He then went on to compare it to Chris Webber going to Sacramento, where he had his best seasons. The quote was, he'll have no choice but to focus on basketball. I think that comparison to Chris Webber is a good one, as, you know, obviously Chris Webber in Sacramento even wasn't the same player that he was at Michigan and in Golden State and in Washington, where he's a little bit more of a high-flying athletic guy, but he became more of that cerebral player, lower to the ground, but great passer, just a high basketball IQ. Really, I think that Chris Webber comparison is a really good one. They talked on the podcast that I mentioned on The Ringer as well about Larry Johnson as well. Amari Stoudemire is another guy who had some injuries, but the Amari Stoudemire contract ended up being a terrible one for many years. At least he had a few moments under that big deal that he had with the Suns and then to the New York Knicks as well. So Isaiah Thomas, speaking of bad contracts and the New York Knicks, Isaiah Thomas was on NBA TV and he talked about how this trade has a lot to do with Stan Van Gundy missing out in the draft, missing on guys like Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell. We've obviously heard a lot about that in the past before. And Isaiah went on to say, when you don't draft well, you get to the gamble spot. And that's apparently means going after guys like Blake Griffin. And of course, that's the deal that the Pistons made and felt like they had to make, seeing as though the franchise was going nowhere. Isaiah went on to say, quote, once you go out and find somebody who's established in the league, he always comes with a very big salary and a very big reputation. So, you know, a lot for the Pistons organization to change course like this. They will obviously be tested in terms of how Blake Griffin fits in. The rest of this season, like I said on today's podcast earlier, they've got 6 games at home here. They've got 8 of 9, I believe, maybe 8 of 10 at home. They're 4 games under 500. They're 3 games out of the Eastern Conference playoff spot. I'd say they're better positioned to be a playoff team right now than they were this morning before that made that deal, bringing in Blake Griffin. The question is, where are they going to go 2 to 3 years from now? How is he going to fit with Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson? I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more and giving my thoughts on the trade here on Locked On Pistons. And you should also be listening to the Locked On Lions podcast, our brother podcast here on the Locked On Network. Matt Derry, you know him from Detroit Sports Radio. He gives a daily podcast look at the Leos, who are trying to rebuild their franchise this past offseason and lead it to greener pastures, just like the Pistons are. The Pistons got Blake Griffin in a big deal on Monday afternoon. Blake's been one of those villains, one of those guys you have loved to hate over the past several years on the other side of the court. But the good news is that's basically Pistons DNA. Now, it's not exactly the same way that Griffin's built his reputation that the Pistons had over the past several decades with their toughness that has been personified over the years, but we will see how it goes. And certainly it's a lot of money for a long time for a guy with a big injury risk. But we've seen Detroit teams in the past, they've needed to find different ways to get top talent. They haven't really made things happen in free agency, and Stan Van Gundy has not made it happen through the draft in his 4 years so far with the Pistons as well. But hey, the move, it's something interesting, and that's more than we can say about what this team has done over the past decade. It's a franchise that's been lost in the woods since the going-to-work era. Really not much good to say about this team, really not much to say about this team at all. As far as the deal, they didn't give up Luke Kennard, which would have been pretty much a disaster. They didn't give up Stanley Johnson while his value is low and the team could maybe be opportunistic and buy low for him in his third year. So there's some things to like about it. They got rid of the Bobon's contract, which is a good thing as well. They did give up that first round pick, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot in this draft to love past the top 7 or 8 players. And hopefully the Pistons pick doesn't end up in the top 7 or 8 right now. I've advocated on this podcast about trading Avery Bradley a bunch in the past couple weeks, so you know where I stand there. As far as Tobias Harris, certainly we're not crazy about losing him in Pistons Nation. He was a great guy, an easy guy to root for the fans. But all season, we've kind of waited for a little bit more from him. He got better going into last year and kind of carried this last year's team through a horrible season and has been the most reliable scorer this season as well. But we've talked a lot about some of those quiet 20-point games that we've always been waiting for a little bit more from him. He can't seem to get to the free throw line in late in games and can't really be a good scorer in the fourth quarter. We need someone who can get a bucket a little bit easier than that. Well, Blake Griffin is here and he's that guy. He's a wide body. He's a crafty scorer. I remember when the Pistons beat the Clippers this year, Griffin at times can kind of just put his butt right into Anthony Tolliver, take him down to the lane, and did a lot of work on one of the top defenders in the league, although Tolliver's not as strong as Blake Griffin, and that was going to be a matchup problem. But those are some of the matchup problems that the Pistons will look to exploit when they have Blake Griffin on their side, and it's something they didn't have before. Another interesting thing with Griffin is, what does this do to Andre Drummond's spot in the high post of the offense? We saw that Andre's had good court vision there, but also saw that he was limited when some of the things broke down initially when that high post offensive set. No way was Andre going to be knocking down anything outside of 8 feet, but he also couldn't drive to the hole when he tried to go from the three-point line as well. Seems like Blake Griffin would be good for that spot in the post, but then what do you do with Andre? But I think some of those thoughts of this guy's in the high post, this guy's in the low post, kind of oversimplifies things a little bit. There are a lot of possessions in an NBA season, and why can't guys alternate between spots in the posts along the way? And along those lines, Andre, with his, you know, maybe get him back a little bit towards the baseline, not in a post-up position, but kind of out of the way a little bit at times, stay out of the way of Blake's real estate in the post, maybe set some screens on the perimeter, and also kind of take advantage of maybe some of the defense sagging towards Blake, look for lobs as well. And then a lot of this Pistons franchise hinges on Reggie Jackson getting back healthy, and maybe we'll see if Blake and Reggie can kind of duplicate some of the success they had in Lob City with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin there. But some other scattered thoughts. This is probably an indication that Stan Van Gundy is back for next season to coach out the fifth and final year of his contract, and also in the front office as well. Whatever happens the rest of the way with this season, you can make the argument that this move and this new team is going to take more than the 34 games left this season to be analyzed. But my bottom line is this. Before the trade, there was nothing really to like about this Pistons team this season, and really not much to look forward to next year, too. Well, now it will be interesting, which is more than we could say on Monday morning. Since the trade, which was only a couple hours ago now, I've heard from about 20 different people on texts, and I promise you that these are not people who are thinking about the Pistons over the weekend. I threw out a query on Twitter about what do you think and got all sorts of responses, most of them negative, but at least that there were some responses there. Plus, hey, the Pistons are in the news for the first time in a long time, and that's a good thing for a change. Will it be a good thing a few years from now? I'm certainly skeptical about it, but it might be fun to find out. So, through draft.com and also the Draft app, you can find us there. We're going to have Draft Wednesday. Use promo code LOPISTONS to sign up for that one. Find me on the app at Matt Shook. Give me a follow and we'll invite you into the Locked on Pistons podcast. We'll have a little bit more of a coherent breakdown of the Blake Griffin deal coming later on in the week, and the Pistons will be at home for a while. So if you want to check out a game, go see them play the Cavaliers on Tuesday, LeBron James in town, and also Memphis on Thursday, and the Miami Heat in town on Saturday night. Follow the Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net, the Twitter handle there. And also follow us, rate us on iTunes, give a subscription there, and also follow us at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook, our Facebook page. Give us a like and join in the discussion there. But Blake Griffin is a Piston. I'm interested to hear what you guys think, and I'm definitely interested to check out what this team looks like tomorrow night against Cleveland if Blake Griffin is in uniform. We will find out more along the line whether that will be happening or not. But thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again very soon.